Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy Wallace, and I host the show. And tonight, as usual, I have another exciting guest. Her name is Jennifer Farmer. She is a psychic medium, and we are going to talk with Jennifer. And I would like everyone who is listening to know that halfway through the program, we're actually going to open the phone lines and allow you to call in and ask some questions. So be patient if we don't get to you right away. We'll try to get to you as soon as we can. So, hi, Jennifer. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nancy, for allowing me to be on your show. I'm very excited about The Metaphysical World. It's something I just love, so it's perfect for me.
Jennifer, let's start by you at least letting the listeners know a little bit about you, like what you do. You say that you're a psychic medium. Maybe explain what that is, because some people may not understand the difference.
Perfect. I would love to do that. I am a psychic medium, and what that basically means is that I can work in with two levels of energy, and that means I can work with your loved ones and your guides and your angels. In that, when I work mediumistically, which is the medium side of that, I'm not funny, medium rare, I hear that often, but I get evidence, I work with your loved ones for them to talk to me and show me things about themselves so I can make them... So I can bring them to my sitter and let them feel the presence of their loved one with them, and that's mediumistically how that works. Psychically is a little different, and what that basically means to me, it may mean something different for everybody else, but what I do is I have a look at someone, not them personally, but the aura around them, and I begin to work in their spiritual, mental, physical, emotional, and all of the whole being in itself, and I look for messages that come through in many different ways, colors, sounds, symbols, and I relay that to the person I'm working with, and we work together on what is the best path for them to bring them more peace, joy, and happiness, and that's really psychically how I work with folks. So they're a little different in the respect that in mediumistic terms, we actually get evidence where we've got a contact here with us, and we can tell you a little bit about their passing and all of that. So,
now, for the mediumship, is it different than channeling?
Again, this is only my interpretation. My experience is different than channeling for me. When I have a loved one there, I have trained in a spiritualist church, and for me, mediumistically means I'm working with your loved one. Now, channeling to me means I've got higher realms of energy, guides, angels, that level of energy that although we can't get evidence and as specific as we can on the physical world, but we can talk to your guides and angels about your life. That is more of a channeling to me. Again, everybody's got their own book on that, but that's for me.
Whatever works really is the way it works.
Yeah, yeah.
Jennifer, when did you first know that you had these abilities?
For me, my awareness of my abilities has come on throughout the years. First of all, just intuitively, where I could pick up things about people, I could sort of know how things were going to happen before they happened. That's been since I started my spiritual development many years ago, I'll say that. But as far as seeing spirit and impressionistic working in spirit, that's been 2 years where I actually felt a loved one, saw a loved one, and could communicate that to someone else. So that was about 2 years ago for me.
Okay. Jennifer, do you think that most people, if not all people, have some form of ability, whether they want to, say it's psychic or intuition or they're seeing ghosts, do you think most people out there have the ability to have some form of what you do?
I am hands down a believer that we all have a sixth sense. We were all given that. And whether or not we want to learn about it, become aware of it, that's really each person's choice. I believe we all have it.
And I agree with that 100% actually.
Yeah, I do. Hands down, I just do believe it. And because I've seen it, I have people that have never, that I teach as well. I teach in my home. I go around the nation and teach. And they've never, ever sat in circle. They've never saw spirit. But why do we sit in circle? The first time they've ever been there and they get a person with us, they can tell us when they passed, all of that. I've just seen it turn on for people in a way that if it's the right atmosphere and the education is there, it's just like learning about anything else in life. If you open up your awareness, it is a skill to develop integrity and accuracy. That takes practice. That's a little bit more advanced. But I believe that if you're open, be ready for the gifts of spirit.
Yeah, I wasn't given a chance. It just happened for me one day with a freak accident. Yeah. But a lot of times people, I really think, when they first start to feel something, even as a child, I think they're assuming as a child that everybody kind of feels it. But that's not necessarily true because not everybody feels it at the same time.
Completely sure. I think what's really good about the next millennium, I'll say, the next age of people, hopefully the children that are that can express and feel comfortable about expressing when they feel like they have a ghost or when they have an imaginary friend or when they know things about people they, you know, that they meet and, you know, they look at their mother and say, well, they're fixing to get divorced, you know, that they just are in a more, in an accepting society where it becomes normal and not so rare. I'll just say that. And it is at different times for different people.
Because a lot of times when kids, you know, like when I interview people and they say they started this as a child, but they assumed everybody else could do it until one day they kind of mentioned it and everybody looks at them like they're kind of strange or weird. So they kind of automatically shut down then thinking, well, I have to fit in. I can't be a weirdo here.
That's correct. Well, my experience was as a child, I did, you're going to laugh, but I did see people in my room. I would talk to people in the closet. And then I really got scared one time because I saw and felt, really for me, I felt my sensitivity is stronger that way at times. I really felt people in the room with me. And as a child, I didn't talk about it with anybody. Nobody talked about that in my house. And that sometimes they would, the energy would just be unfamiliar and it would scare me. And you know, I would look under the bed. You know, I would search in the closet because I knew that I was experiencing something. And I wasn't real comfortable with talking about it in my environment, so I just didn't even acknowledge it to anyone else outside of that.
Was there something that happened to you that made you start acknowledging it to people outside?
Well, there's two things that happened to me. One, I have to admit that I have had a near-death experience when I was a teenager. I do remember really getting a glimpse of riding the light, and that's the only way I know how to describe it. And I still didn't turn on then. It probably wasn't 2 years ago. I was starting to read a book by Sanaya Roman, and it talks about living with joy. And I had a real desire to learn and develop and grow spiritually. And part of that book talks about being truthful, knowing what's inside of you, what's going on, and how to really just put it out there. And for me, that's what I did. I was sort of surprised how accurate and how things would come through for me. And then I just, all of a sudden, I was at work, and I had people come to my desk that I'd not had before, and they would start telling me about their lives. And I would say, oh, yes, and your daughter's pregnant, right? And she goes, yeah, how'd you know that? I go, oh, I said, it's just lucky guess, you know? And that's how it really started for me when I started putting it out there. But I've always trusted God in a sense of I knew I was going to be okay. And my intuition just really has put me in a place of put me in the right place at the right time without fear. And I've just learned to trust my intuition. And when it started to happen for me, you know, the biggest thing that I had to struggle with, I think, for me whenever I started to really put it out there was get over the fact of the word psychic, okay? Mm-hmm. Everybody, you know, crystal ball, all this business, fortune telling, you know, evil exists. These are the things that I didn't have, but I knew that if I had said that to people that there would be, you know, a level of you know, they classify me as a certain person. Well, let me tell you, I'm as real suburban as you get, you know. I have a 15-year-old son, and I'm in a, you know, suburban community in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I go to the grocery store. You know, I do all the normal stuff. So for me, it's been about being true to myself and just putting it out there And what's happened is Spirit has rewarded me. My gifts have gotten stronger. I've got to go to school. And I do it full time now. And it's really where my heart is.
That's really great. Do you find in your process of growing that there are some people out there who, this is going to sound mean to me, so I hope I don't upset anybody, but if I do, well, they'll get over it. In their way of trying to tell us that they're these very spiritual people, and yet they come down on us for what we do, saying that we're bad, we're evil, you know, the Bible is against us. Have you ever ran into people like that?
You know, I haven't, but I will tell you this, that if I do address it a lot in my groups, a lot of my students, one of the very first conversations that I have with them is, okay, raise your hand if you're afraid we're doing evil work here or we're in the darkness, you know. And we really address that right off the bat because all of my teaching has taught me that there is nothing to fear in the light ever. And for me, I really tell my students that if you experience anything lower in energy, and I know this is not your question, but it might come up for some of your listeners, if you sense something in your home or you sense something around different places and you're not comfortable, but you know it's there, just say, you know, if it's not for your highest good, say, get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know who you are. I don't know where you belong, but I'm not available, you know, and I've had that happen twice. And I can see why people get scared and why they turn their skills off is because if they're not equipped with how to handle that energy, then it, and they don't have anyone to talk to, it can be frightening, you know. And so we address that accordingly. My sister has real theological training, and whenever I run into questions about, are you doing evil work and psychic work and that sort of thing, I just call her and say, can you help me with this one? I'm hearing this feedback. Where is it in the Bible, and where is it that, you know, that this is a big deal, and where is it being twisted to fit someone else's fear? Because that's what we're talking about, is
mm-hmm.
that people are afraid.
Yeah, I find that happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be where I would be in a restaurant and I would be doing a reading for somebody. Without a doubt, almost every single time, someone would walk past the table and drop down a religious pamphlet on the table.
Yeah.
Okay, and I used to thank them.
Yeah, me too.
I wanted to read them. I wanted to see what they were saying that wasn't correlating with how I really feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I would say thank you to the person, they wouldn't even look back.
Yeah.
You know, because I guess they were expecting me to be, like, really nasty and stuff, but, you know, that's not the way I do things. If somebody's got something that I'm missing out on, then I need to know that.
I had a really amazing experience, if we have time. I was flying home from Albuquerque, and in front of me was a priest that was dressed in the right garb, you know, with the whole, you know, rope around his neck. And I thought, man, who is this guy? You know, I, of course, am very excited about this. I'm going to go pick his brain. So I go and sit right by him. And Spirit says, of course, he didn't talk to me. Spirit says, he's thirsty. You better go get him something to drink. So off I go, you know, and I'm really used to this. When I hear that intuition speak, I just go do it. And
mm-hmm.
I could be wrong, but who cares? I'm just going to go do it. So I go and get him something to drink and something to eat. And I come back and I give him this. And I said, well, I heard you might be thirsty. He says, yeah, I'm ravished. Thank you very much. You know,
mm-hmm.
and we talked and I said, you know, in my work, I work with a lot of people that are addressing their fears and concerns in the Catholic religion. And I said, what kind of priest are you? And he's a Franciscan priest. And, you know, he really just talked to me for a few minutes about that. And he said, the only thing that, you know, in that religion is that they're concerned about, you know, the spirit being masked in some scary way coming to bring people harm. I believe that the only reason that anybody would have a reason to contact us is for our highest good. And that's what the spiritualists believe. And I'll tell you, it rings true for me. And it's what I believe in. So I know when something doesn't feel right to me as a reader. And if it doesn't feel right, I check it out. I check it out again. And then if I don't know, I don't go there. And that's really the way I deal with it. But there's not much I won't look at, you know.
Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, the same way I approach things. Because like I said, if there's something that I need to know, well, then I need to know it.
Yeah.
Now, when you're out giving lectures, because you go all over the country actually giving lectures and teaching, basically, do you help people open, you know, their sense of intuition, or do you give them, like, little things they can do to help, you know, make it happen for themselves so that they can relax with it?
You know, everybody's waiting to see God, you know, that's what I think about this. It's like, oh, we want to see spirit. What they don't understand, and what I usually have to explain is, in my teaching and how I talk about my mediumship, how it works for me, I explain how things come to me, and I give examples of, do you think it's a coincidence when you're thinking about someone and they call? I mean, everybody's had it happen. Is there, you know, is it a coincidence that you just happen to feel like you should go another direction, and you get home and you find out that other direction you went was better because the one you usually take is nothing but traffic jam for 3 hours?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are ways of intuition. And I always encourage people to follow that, and you got to be in an opportunity to go, wow, what was that I just felt? What was that I just heard? What was that I just saw? It becomes really a game of learning how to recognize what's going on with you as a person. And what that means, you have to pull from the outside world. You have to leave the outside world where it is, and you have to start coming within and recognize it's not all about the stuff. It's not all about what everybody says it should be about. It's not about the chase of, you know, power and ambition and all of that. That may be a result of what you get if you live your purpose, but that's not the goal. And quite frankly, if we had this training class, you know, in school, you know, as kids, let's have, you know, internal awareness training in the health class. But nobody addresses that, you know. I have to talk to my son on a regular basis about, how do you feel about that? You know, I don't know. Well, I knew that was that way. And I try to point out where his intuition was leading him in that way. Same thing with my students. You know, if you open it up and you practice, a great thing that I share people is colors are very easy for people to really grasp when you're opening up, you know, clairvoyantly. And I always say, just relax and, you know, ask yourself how many phone calls you might get that day. And the first thing that comes to mind, write it down. And then throughout the day, just look and see how close you were. Those are little things that you can do to start trusting what is inside you, because we'll never be led astray if we go within, ever.
And I agree with you. You mentioned stuff about children in schools, you know, and people who listen to my show on a regular basis know that I have a 501c, which is a nonprofit organization called A Child's Miracle Mind.
Mm-hmm.
And what it's designed to do is use the metaphysical world, the ancient knowledge, wisdom, and techniques that have been here forever to help these children, and maybe even adults at this time, you know, not go on to those prescription drugs, or at least help them to get off of them so they can really be who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's going to also turn into another leg called the School of Now,
mm-hmm.
which is the school that would never be outdated according to all the learnings that are coming and bombarding us from, you know, the universe every day of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I've set that up. So there are some people who are trying to address it, but it's very hard because the normal everyday school system, they don't want to talk to us.
Well, we're in a country that is, you know, there's still controversy whether or not God belongs in school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that should be an indicator there's something wrong here. And either way, the fact that we have a controversy about it shows us that we're looking at the wrong stuff.
Oh, yeah, big time looking at the wrong stuff.
Yeah, don't get me going on that. I mean, I might burn some bridges that one.
We could probably do about 5-10 hours of stuff like that.
Yeah, I might be in serious trouble with that one. We get a lot of email on that one. But, you know, I just watch my son. I watch his friends. And, you know, teenagers are teenagers. And what they deal with today is 10 times more than I ever dealt with as a teenager. And I went through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole, you know, awareness of what's in me, what's coming from me, what's coming to me, and or what am I believing? Is it someone else's beliefs or my beliefs? That's probably the biggest gift I was ever taught, is evaluate if that belief belongs to me or someone else. Mm-hmm. And if it does belong to me and it doesn't work for me, I now get a new belief.
Right.
And that's how I live my life.
Which is actually real important. If people did that, they would probably be a lot happier,
yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, because they're all trying to sit into a mold that
mm-hmm.
is just, it's not working. It's not
right.
working in today's world, and it's not going to work in tomorrow's world either.
Mm-hmm.
And yet people are still trying to fit. It's like, you know, get out of the logic mind here and the imagination that everything is going to turn out hunky-dory, and really trust what your first gut feeling is telling you, because that really is your answer.
Mm-hmm.
If you can just follow it. I do a little bit of teaching like you do, Jennifer. I have people always have a piece of paper and a pencil with them.
Mm-hmm.
And every time they get a gut feeling, and it doesn't matter what it is, and it doesn't matter at that time what they do, but just jot it down and date it.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of each 2 weeks, don't throw any of those papers away. Just pick them all back up and read them. And anything that's come close, not perfect, not exact, but close, put a check mark by it. And they need to do this probably about 6 to 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And they will see those check marks grow and grow and grow during that 6 to 8 weeks. At the end of that 6 to 8 weeks, they really start trusting that first gut feeling better than they ever have before.
That's so true. You know, real-life experience can teach people to trust their instincts. And, you know, we've all been in relationships, well, at least most of the people I've met, that knew from the very get-go, we're in deep trouble here if
mm-hmm.
we keep going, you know?
Yeah.
And it takes, you know, a couple of divorces, bad marriages, bad relationships, breakups before someone said, I knew there was something going on. Why did it? Why ignored it? I don't know. And what I encourage people is, great, that's a lesson you'll never have to learn again.
Mm-hmm.
Make a commitment to yourself to begin to recognize how you feel, how you think. And that's part of, it's fun that you say bring a pencil and listen to your gut feeling. I get some folks that aren't even comfortable with what a gut feeling feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And we really have to start with the basics. And that's what, you know, that's what I enjoy, is watching people really turn on and the light bulb come on in every way. And then, you know, we can grow from there of how far can you take it? How far can you learn about energy? You learn about the power that we each have within us. That's where the fun starts for me.
Mm-hmm. And really, it should start with most people, but too many people today kind of live in that fear world, and they really need to get out of that.
Well, we're in a society that has nothing but fear. You know?
Right.
It's, you know, afraid of the recession.
Yeah.
Fine. We have plenty of money in this planet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I always think about, they're always saying fear the recession. I'm like, why? We have everything we need. Why would you want to get into that fear? Because then you start creating and acting as if you have that you don't have enough, so then you start creating that reality. And that's just another, you know, belief of mine. But, that's another story.
We tend to think alike, Jennifer.
Yeah?
So we both can't be wrong here, okay?
Okay.
Now, Jennifer, you have a website. Would you like to give that out in case people would like to get a hold of you?
Yes, I would love it. So first of all, people can always call me on my phone and leave a message. I do return calls within 24 hours. Please be sure and let me know your time zone. I would sure hate to wake you up early. My number is area code 817-690-4208. That number again is 817-690-4208. My website, it's a long one, but it's a good one. It's Butterfly. It's www.butterflyspiritconnections.com. It's Butterfly, one word, Spirit, one word, and Connections with an S.com.
Okay.
I'll be in, I've got a great travel schedule I'd like to tell everybody about.
Good.
I don't know where all your listeners are. I know you've got tons of them. So my next adventure, I'll be in Durango in March. I believe it's March 8th. I'll be there in Colorado doing private readings and teaching. I'll also be doing spirit message circles there as well, where I can get groups of people together and we do gallery session type readings. I also will be in Chicago the following week at the Body, Mind, Spirit Expo. At that lecture, I will give a free lecture and demonstration of mediumship. I'll also be available for readings as well. And lastly, in Houston on the last of March, I'll be in Houston doing private readings, teaching, and available for sessions there too. So call me, email me. I would love to hear from you, and I'll be glad to help you any way I can. And if I'm not the right person, I know a lot of people in the community. I can help you find one. So
that's great. Would you explain what gallery readings are? Because some people may not know what those are.
A gallery reading is a group of people that get together, and it's where the medium will be up in the front of the room and will basically talk to the audience about people that they have with them in spirit and give them evidence, and then we move to those people in the audience, make it more of a personal connection, and give the evidence and give the message. It's really a great setting to let other people see messages that other people receive. One, it helps relieve any fear. Two, you may have a family member on the other side that is similar to the one that we give the message to, so it always is exciting to decide, was my father here too? Was my mother here too? And it can be a great healing experience just being in the energy itself where people of like minds are looking to learn, grow, or receive messages.
It's great. If somebody called you for a private reading, Jennifer,
mm-hmm.
about how long does a private reading take?
I always schedule an hour with people, but I do let them know that it could go from 30 minutes is a minimum time frame for me, 45 minutes and up to an hour. I don't read longer than an hour in one sitting.
Which is probably a good thing, or you'd be there all day.
Yeah.
People are very curious. You know, they tend to want to know it, but yet, like you talked a little bit earlier, there is a little bit of fear there. But once they just relax and kind of go with it, that fear will, without a doubt, start to subside. If somebody comes to you to learn the mediumship,
mm-hmm.
how long does that take?
Well, mediumship is not something that has a stopping point. It is something that will continue for a lifetime. Even people that are mediums that have been doing it for 15 years, there's still an area for development. There's always ways to get better. I would say if there's no really way to gauge how long development would be, it's really how far that person would like to take it. Like I said, I had one person encircled, never brought a message through, brought someone through just fine, very clear. It was their first time to ever do it or ever be in a circle, you know. And that's very different if you've got somebody that wants to develop and be a professional medium. I personally think development should happen every year. I believe you should be going to classes, attending, sitting, getting your own mentoring, especially if you're helping others as well. So there's no timetable on that.
Do you do phone readings as well as in person?
I do. I do a lot of phone readings. I probably did close to 30 readings this week.
And do they work the same as if the person was in person?
For me, they do. I do encourage people that are in my community to come and visit with me in person. One, because it helps them. It's their first time, you know. Mm-hmm. And then they can get a sense of who I am, what I'm doing, and then we work from there. But it doesn't matter, you know, for me.
Do you tape your readings?
I do. I put them on CD for the person if they like that, and then I just send them the CD in the mail.
Yeah, that to me that's real important because I do the same. I want to make sure that they get to hear it over and over and over again so they start to listen.
Yeah. And there's just a lot of things that I always believe folks get amnesia. Because even when I have a reading, I have tendency to go, I don't know what that means, I'm not sure what that is. And then the person keeps talking, and then, you know, 3 days later I say, oh, my gosh, I know exactly what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes to me. So that's another resource for the reading, is that there's a lot of subtle information that spirit can give that not even the medium can even decide what that means for that person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where sometimes I really have to step back and go, I'm not sure what all this is given here, but I'm going to give you just like I'm getting it, and then let that be what you take it, you know, how you take that with you. And it never fails that, you know, they'll send me an email back, oh, my gosh, my mother was born in August, and that was the date, but I didn't know that. Her mother died in August, you know. And that's a lot of fun, but also just how to improve your life. I believe those kinds of reprogramming takes time. If mm-hmm. I've got someone I'm mentoring in there, and I do mentoring sessions as well, those can be very intense for someone if you've not had anyone really sit with you and look at you in a way to bring you to your highest self without having a lot of you know, rules and regulations on how that happens, just putting the truth out there on what they see and where it goes and then what they want to do with that information. The CDs are important for there as well.
How old do you, like, well, first of all, do you work with children?
I do.
And how old is, like, the youngest one?
You know, I did a circle with children about 6 months ago in my home, and I had children as young as about 3. My preference, if I've got a child with me that wants to develop, one is I'd like them to be a little older, 7 to 9, because then things really are, they're a little bit more concrete, they're a little bit more tangible. With children that much younger, I just encourage the parent, support them. When they're talking about their imaginary friend, ask them about them. Talk to them about them. What kind of things do they do? What kind of things? That's something that the home can do. When they get a little older and they want to actually hear someone else besides their family tell them, you know, like, my mom's crazy, she would just say that, then they bring them to someone like me and go, oh, my gosh, that's exactly what I've been thinking about. And children are a lot of fun. I was hoping to spend more time with children as I develop my practice, but I have found that I get a lot of adults, and that's just where I'm going right now. I'm always open for children. So I'm glad to know that you work with them as a resource. I can send them your way. I definitely have people in my community that are very in tune with their children, their senses, their abilities to see spirit, all of that, and they encourage them greatly. And they're always looking for resources to put them in environments where those children can develop those abilities as well as their just academic abilities.
Mm-hmm. Which is all both really important. They do have to be balanced. Jennifer, could you give out your website and your phone number again, please?
I will. It's 817-690-4208. And my website is butterflyspiritconnections.com.
Okay, great. Now, for you that are listening out there, if you would like to call in, I'm sure if you have your computer on, the phone number is there. I do not know what the phone number is that you're calling on. So look on the website, call the number it's telling you to, and you can have a quickie from Jennifer and a quickie from myself. And until we get a call coming in, Jennifer, I'm going to also ask you, when you are working with individuals, does that also lead into working, say, with the family? You know, say somebody's having a really tough time with a death, and there's other family members. So do you start with one and work in with the rest of them, or do they just kind of come to you as a family?
I've had both. A lot of people will, you know, a lot of the black sheep in the family will come out and seek me out, and then they'll have a great session. They'll go back and tell their family, and then I go and do a private session with the whole family in their home, or they'll come to me. You know, a black sheep because, you know, they think, oh, I'm going to go see a medium, and they're not sure how everybody else would feel about it, and that's all I meant by black sheep, but that's what that's about. But, yeah, I do it all the time, love it. I have a family I'm going to be visiting in Houston at the end of the month, and that's one reason I'm going to Houston. I do it in Austin as well. I'll be in Austin in April. Durango, I'm doing the same thing. So it's very much a part of my world.
But, again, I think it's pretty important that it's actually helping other people with their part of the world.
Yeah, it really is. I had a lady that I read for that her husband passed with a heart attack, and they had had a fight, and they weren't on the best terms. And I'll tell you, that's one of the most distressing things that can happen to a loved one is to have a bad conversation before they pass and live with the guilt that they think that that person doesn't love them or not with them.
That little beep signals that there's somebody online. So, hello, caller.
Hi.
Can I have your name, please?
Diana.
And Diana, do you have a question?
General was coming up shortly.
Now, Jennifer, is there anything you need other than her first name?
Diana, what area of your life, and I'm sorry, I may ask you to speak up. What area, now this is a little different than mediumistically. This is more of a psychic setting. So as far as evidence goes, I don't get it quite the same. So I just want to let you know that.
Okay.
Diana, what area in your, of your life would you like me to look at for you?
Finances.
I'm sorry, your finances?
Uh-huh.
All right, give me just a moment and let me just get a clue in for you, please.
And while you're doing that moment, Jennifer, I'll just starts. How's that?
Okay.
First of all, you worry way too much. And whatever people tend to worry about with that energy, you also tend to create it.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of worrying about finances being tight or being tough, if you could just take the negative words and negative thoughts out of it, replace it with positive words, positive thoughts like, what am I going to do with all the excess money that I now have? That would make it work a little bit better for you.
Okay.
In the next 6 months, you are coming up with success. 3 times better than you think. You just don't know it yet. But you have to get yourself stable because you're up and down and all around like a yo-yo here, and your energy is just like really, really spiked, like peaked and peaked. So you need to relax a little bit, and then you come up with a new life beginning. Okay, Jennifer, what would you like to add?
So, Diana, is it Diana or Diane?
Diana.
Diana, I just pick up that you've had to make some pretty big expenditures over the last 3 months.
Right.
And that, I'm sorry?
Yes, uh-huh.
And what that does is that I just want you to know that those are going to be one-time occurrences for you. You won't always be caught off guard, okay? Because I feel like that those expenses caught you off guard and you weren't prepared for them. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And all of that would make sense for you, correct?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, so I will say that if you will need to continue to save some money, because your guides are telling me that when you get your mind to it, you're really good at creating abundance of savings for yourself, even if you do a little bit at a time that you know how to put money back. And what that does is it gives you the sense of security that you'll always be able to bring money in your life. So bring that back up. You've always been able to put things away, even if it's $10 or $20. You've been able to get that back. This is no different, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Okay, all you listeners, that's how easy it works. You give us a call in. We're going to do what we can for you and help you out a little bit. And again, in the meantime, Jennifer, could you give out your phone number and your website again?
Sure. It's 817-690-4208. And the website is butterflyspiritconnections.com.
Can I ask why you chose the butterfly?
I was in meditation, and I was trying to decide what I wanted to call my business or my website, because my name is taken. I couldn't use it. And when I was in spirit, I just heard butterfly spirit, and then I heard butterfly spirit, and then I just loved connections. So.
Mm-hmm. That sounds great.
Thank you.
That signal is another caller. So, hi, caller. Can I have your name, please? Hello?
Hello. Are you talking to me?
Yes, I am.
My name is Laura.
Laura. And do you have a question?
I do. I have a question. I lost a daughter at a young age. And my question, though, is I was told twice before we even knew she was ill, one message was that I was going to have a critically ill child, and then a message, I would say, a number of weeks later, and we still didn't know how ill that she was really ill, that she was going to be gone. And I've come to believe that somebody told me, and I wanted to know something about what I was told or who told me or something about that message, and if you clues at all about it.
Jennifer, could you hear her okay?
I can't, but I get, because I have a little girl with me, so you're talking about a little girl, correct?
Yes.
And what I'd like to do, I'm not sure the question, but I want to bring her through for you. Is that going to be all right? Are you going to be okay with that? Your daughter, is that correct?
Yes.
Would you understand why she's talking to me about the month of August? If it relates to you or her, please?
Not right now, I don't.
Okay. Do you have a pen and paper?
Sure.
Okay. I want you to write down that, like around August 11th, she is with me. She's talking to me about that. She says that she had something going on with her head before she passed. She brings me to that as well. Can you understand that?
She said something going on with her head?
Yes.
I couldn't hear you.
With her head.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
Because that's what she's bringing to me. I got to say, beautiful hair with this girl. I'm not sure if she lost it because she keeps showing me how beautiful and long her hair is. And the reason that's important is she said she feels like she's a princess now Would you understand why that would be important to her?
Yes.
Because she says that it's all okay over here, and there's something about Easter with her as well, because she brings me through the Easter bunnies too, okay?
Yes, she died on Easter Sunday.
Okay, thank you, because that's what she's making me over. She says, Mother, don't worry, I'm right here with you. I have to say that she's got other children with her in spirit, because I feel as if she loved children and wanted to spend more time with children on this side as well. She didn't get a chance to do that. Would you understand that as well?
I do.
Uh-huh. And she's talking about everybody worried about her being sick, and she said she knew she was going to be okay, and she wants you to know that she was not afraid, okay? And she
okay.
said when she passed, she said that the grandmother was there. The grandmother in spirit was with her. Would you know the name Pearl or Pauline, a woman with a strong P name, is the one she's given me?
Well, she has two grandmothers that are here.
There.
That both of their names begin with P.
Okay. She felt their presence. She saw their presence. She knew that it was going to be okay. All right? There's something that connection with there she's making me aware of. You know, she says that, you know, and I can, if you ever want to talk about this more, she's very easy to work with. She's very beautiful. And she's just given me the name Austin. And I know I just said that, but I'm hearing it again. Is there a link into you as far as Austin, please? Or the name Austin?
Her sister goes to school in Austin.
Okay, good. Thank you. That just lets you know she's with me, okay? And she really wants you to know, you know, she's great. She says, just put your head down on my lap. She says, just put your head down on my lap and rest. She says, I'm a big girl now, and I'm good. She says, I'm all clean. She says, there's no pain here. She really didn't like being ill. She said that her body, with her passing, she couldn't control her body, and her body functions the way she wanted to. Can you understand that?
Yes.
Because she says it sort of embarrassed her, and she said you were so good about not making a big deal about it and knowing that she was going to be okay. She says you treated her with kid gloves.
Yeah.
And she said she knew that she had an angel with her, even through all her illness. All right?
Uh-huh.
What was your... I can hear you better now. I can work with her, or you can tell me your question again.
Well, she... this was before she passed, but I was told that she... I was going to have a critically ill child, and this is before we knew she was ill. And then within a couple of weeks, I was also told that she was going to be gone.
Okay.
And I thought it might be another relative that had already passed that may have, you know, could see, because she was already sick, we just didn't know it.
Oh, okay, so let me make sure I understand. You're asking who's in spirit with her that let you know ahead of time, is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, is your father in spirit, please?
Yes.
Because he's the one that comes through, the one on your side, the father on your side is the one that comes through the most.
Yes.
And he's just making me aware. He just takes his glasses off for me, okay? He said this was a big deal. He'd take his glasses on and off. Can you understand that?
Absolutely.
He's just so funny about that. Because
yeah.
He said that would be a sure fine winner. But there's something about Little Debbie Cakes with him as well, because he gives me the Little Debbie Cakes. Those little sweet cakes.
Sweet cake, that's interesting.
All right, so he's giving me that as well, but he says he's the one that knew. He said he knew a lot. He said that he knew ahead of time. He said, but he couldn't change it. He said, that's not the way spirit works. He said he just wanted you to know that she was going to be okay. I'm sorry?
I didn't think that someone was going to change it.
Yeah, and he knows that, but he, I think in his heart, when I look at him, he's like, he would have wanted to trade places with you so you wouldn't have had to go through that.
Yeah.
But he knows now that he couldn't do that, and he had to love you from this side as well. Is there a reason he's talking to me about Michigan, please?
He had a brother who lived in Michigan.
Okay, good. Thank you. Because he just keeps saying Michigan, Michigan, Michigan. And I was hoping you could help me with that. He says his hearing's all better now. So I just want to share with you, he says he can hear fine. So... just take
great.
It as his words of love. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay.
And you know
thank
what's
you
really,
so much for calling in.
You know
thank
what's
you.
Really kind of neat, Jennifer, while you're doing the reading?
Uh-huh.
I had pulled a man in my cards with the interference. Everything will be okay, but the interference, and the pain that she would be going through, the mom would be going through, you know, when she found this all out. And, you know, it shows that he was there trying to make sure that, you know, the little girl is okay and then I have anything possible through the power of God. But it's kind of fun how what you have told her correlate within the cards that I have pulled for her, too.
Yeah, you know, the energy is the same. That's great. Just want to share one thing. Your daughter's giving me the teddy bear, okay? She's holding the teddy bear in front of me. Does that mean something to you?
Well,
if it doesn't now, just write the teddy bear down, okay?
Okay.
Hey, Nancy, okay. I was going to share with you. That's just another way that it lets me know that Spirit uses whatever tools we have to bring out the best in us as mediums and as healers. It doesn't matter what you use, how you use it, as long as your integrity is there. Spirit will use cards. Spirit will use crystals. They'll use newspapers. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it will just come through the way it's supposed to.
You know, that's why I spent the time listening, because it was kind of neat. And cards I also got, so that you know this, your daughter's hair is still long. She likes
terrific.
Her hair.
Yeah.
Thank
terrific.
You for calling.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing to do. It really is, because bringing people through in spirit for me is really where my passion is. Mm-hmm. And I love it because I get them, you know?
Well, but it's also good because people, they need a closure. They need to know that they really are okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they may think they are and they might want to believe they are, but to have somebody confirm that they are okay really makes a big difference with how people let go of that hurt or that pain that was associated with them. Do you do pets?
I do.
Because a lot of people, you know, will lose a pet. And before, people would say, oh, it doesn't matter, pets don't do anything. But, you know, I'll be reading people and, you know, they'll ask something about a pet. And it's like, well, they're sitting right next to you. You know, they're kind of fun. Pets have got a whole different kind of energy. And I like the pet thing.
I have clients that that they've never had children, but their pets are like children. And let me tell you, it can be just as devastating.
Oh, it is.
It
know?
Is, because they are a level of love, and love is the power of the universe. And when you have that change, it doesn't go away, it changes.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a loss.
Well, and it's a big loss, because people have a hard time, you know, trying to make it okay with themselves, thinking, well, did I do all I could do?
Mm-hmm.
Or if they had, you know, to put the pet down, you know, did I do the right thing? You know, was the pet in pain? Because they don't quite know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's another call. Hi, caller.
Beep, beep.
Hello.
Can we have your first name, please?
My first name is Michael.
And, Michael, can you talk a little louder? Because, you know, with both of us on the line, it's kind of hard to hear you, okay?
Sure. How's that?
That's much better. Do you have a question?
Well, I have a brother who's ill, and someone very close to me passed away, and, you know, I just miss him, and I don't really know if I have a question or not. I just want to make sure that he's okay.
So I can help you connect with your loved one in spirit, if you'd like.
Yes.
Would you like me to do that?
Yes.
Would you understand why he's tall and thin, and he keeps talking to me about the name Dan?
Dan?
Daniel. It's not his name. It's someone that you guys know. Somebody with a strong D name, like a Daniel or a David. If you can't place it, don't worry. Do you have a pen and
Daniel's
paper
his brother.
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. Daniel is his brother.
Okay, thank you.
My Uncle Dan.
Would you understand why this fella would want to be looking good wherever he went? Looking good wherever he went? It's as if, as I work with his energy, he's dressing up and going out for a party.
No, that's not making sense right now.
Okay, let me just work with him. What's his first name, please?
Michael.
Michael. That's your name and his name?
It's his first name's Michael and my first name's Michael.
Okay, give me just a moment then. Let me work with his energy for just a second.
Sorry.
And he's with me very strongly. He's the tall, thin fella. Is that correct?
And I'm sorry, I couldn't make that out.
He's tall and thin?
Tall and thin, see, that comes back to my Uncle Dan again.
Okay.
But, my Uncle Dan's still with us.
Okay, so I'm just having a problem hearing you. I really apologize, Michael. So give me just a moment then, and let me just kind of get the interference out of this. Nancy, that's a great word. give me just a moment then. The gentleman that's with me is talking about the month of April. It is a time that would be something that you would know about between you and him. Would you understand that? April. An important date.
I'm not positive. It
okay.
Very well may be the
that,
close time of...
That means I've got someone else in spirit with me, okay? Just because
yes.
We ask for Michael doesn't mean that's who's going to come through. I mean, I'm going to work with him. But the gentleman that's with me, the one that's the party fella, tall and thin guy, has the dark curly hair. Would you recognize him, please?
I'm sorry, I just don't.
Okay, it's no problem. It might belong to Nancy. I'm not sure. Let's go check it out. So,
there's been
Michael,
only a few people that's passed away, so I kind of know who they are.
Yeah. When Michael passed, would you understand why he would be talking to me about he was ill before he passed?
He was what now?
He was ill before he passed.
He was still?
Ill, sick.
Oh, yes, he was.
And that for him, he says his health was on a steady decline and it couldn't be stopped. Would you understand that?
Yes.
He's letting me know that his passing was just like going to sleep. For him.
Because he did go to sleep.
Thank you. That helps me know I've got the right energy here with me. I'm not sure who the other folks were, but this is what I feel from him. And he's just talking to me about words that weren't said between you and him. He said he knows that you love him. He says he knows that you did everything to try to help him through his life. And he says that for him, he keeps showing me putting somebody on a pedestal. Can you understand that?
Yes.
Because he says that with your friendship and your relationship, that he didn't get a chance to, he says, treat you right, okay?
Yes.
Treat you right is what he's talking about here. And I feel like with him, it's as if he's saying, I'm sorry for not making things right first. Do you understand that?
Yes.
All right. Would you understand why he's talking to me about the 24th, why the 24th would be important?
No, not offhand. No,
write
I don't.
That date down, okay? He's
okay.
Given me I've got to say that when I'm with him, give me just a moment. I'm around March 24th with him, okay?
Okay, that's I believe it says it may have been his passing.
Okay, I'm around that date with him is what he gives me. Lots of love from him, and I got to say, this guy, I just feel like there's something with digging with him because he keeps digging his own grave, and I'm not sure what that means, okay, but I got to give it the way I see it. But it's something about digging in his own grave. Can you understand why he would be doing that?
Everything he did seemed to, I mean, he wasn't smart with the things he did with himself and his body. And
okay.
It just,
he's talking about. He dug his own grave, okay?
Yeah.
Can you still talk to his mother, please?
Do I still talk to his mother?
Yes.
No, his mother's passed away with him.
Because he said, hello, mother, here. And I was almost, did he know your mother as well?
Oh, are you talking about my mother?
Yes.
Yeah, my mother as well. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Okay, because he's saying hello to your mother.
Oh, good. I'll
okay.
Let her know.
And who has the art gallery, please?
Oh, my Aunt Lee.
Okay, because
his sister.
Yeah, he's talking about the art gallery here as well, okay? And there's
okay.
A link into, like, Pittsburgh, or Pennsylvania here as well, okay?
Okay.
I can't place that yet. You're either going or he's from there. There's something with Pittsburgh or Pennsylvania, all right?
I'll write that down.
All right. And would you understand why he talked to me about Paul?
Paul.
The name, a guy named Paul? He's talking about Paul is with him.
Oh,
it could be a family friend as well.
It very well may be a friend of his, a friend that he was staying with in the house that he was staying.
Yeah. There was an accident involved with him.
Oh.
I believe there was an accident because he shows me the car accident. It may not have been what took his passing, but I'm pretty sure because he shows me a car accident as well. Okay?
I'll check up on that.
All right. So
okay.
Thank you so much. I know Nancy's got something wonderful for you as well.
Oh,
yeah,
great. Thank
again,
you.
It's kind of good, Jennifer, because I come up with the curly-haired guy.
Yeah.
And I do come up with the Paul person with some interference and a defeat card around. So, yeah, you really do need to check into that, okay?
I will.
When it comes to yourself, you've got to try to lighten up a little bit for yourself because you're pretty hard on you, aren't you?
Yeah, I can see that.
But see, you can't do that because people will treat you the way they see you treat yourself. And if you're real hard on yourself and you want to be a perfectionist and you try to make everything perfect, then they're going to expect that from you too, and that's a real tall order to deal with, okay?
Yes.
So it's kind of like lighten up with yourself, be a little bit more patient for yourself. You're actually coming up with the Wheel of Fortune, which is completion of good things coming for you. As long as you do your stuff. And he knows how much you miss him. And he's there with you a lot. So talk to him.
I feel that I talk to him all the time.
Yeah, let him hear you, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you for calling.
No, thank you.
You're very welcome. Jennifer, our time is almost up.
Yes, it is.
So one more time quickly, maybe give out your phone number and your website address for the listeners, please.
Sure. It's Jennifer Farmer, and my website is butterflyspiritconnections.com. My phone number is 817-690-4208, and I would love to hear from you.
And on your website, it tells everybody where you're going to be at for classes and readings, correct?
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
Okay. Jennifer, you know, this is great. I'm glad that you were my guest. I hope
you had
as good time as I did, and I'm sure our listeners did. And we'll have to have you on again.
Thank you so much. I would love to do that.
Great, Jennifer. You take care. Have a nice day.
Thank you. Have a good day. Goodbye.
Right. And I'd like to thank all you, the listeners. Thanks for the call-ins. We do get to do that sometimes. May God bless all of you. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week. Take care. Bye now.